Hello and welcome to Developing Perspective. Developing Perspective is a podcast discussing news of note in iOS development, Apple, and the like. I'm your host, David Smith. I'm an independent iOS and Mac developer based in Herndon, Virginia. This is show number 123, and today is Thursday, May 2nd, 2013. Developing Perspective is never longer than 15 minutes, so let's get started. All right, so it has been a pretty wild week for me. If you've been paying attention, this week I launched FeedWrangler, my latest product, application, platform, whatever you want to call it. I'd actually intended originally to do this show the day of launch and to kind of have that initial kind of like, hey, this is how the day went. But I was a little bit crazy, and it's been kind of a wild week getting everything, giving attention to everything that needs attention. And so I'll talk a little bit about that process and a little bit about what's going on. But first, I'd probably just, now that I can talk openly and freely about it, I can sort of talk about what FeedWrangler is, where it came from. So FeedWrangler is an RSS service. It was actually something that I started months ago before Google Reader even announced that they were going to be going out of business. It's something that I've wanted for a long time. I think about RSS in a slightly different way than a lot of services do, in terms of I have a very focused and intentional sort of way in which I like to read my news and the way in which I like to follow things and the way I kind of like to process it. And so I always kind of wanted a system that was more geared towards that heads in that direction. And so that's what I did with FeedWrangler. And so it's an RSS aggregation service, kind of like you'd expect. You give it a collection of feeds. It goes and collects all the articles and linked items from that and pulls them in. And then the kind of place where it starts to then diverge and get kind of beyond that is in two ways. It has a few kind of like power user features, things that help you really organize your news. So you can do things like what I call smart streams, which are collections of feeds, which is like its simplest form, where basically you can just say, take these five feeds. These are my like must check, feeds, and you can put them into a list. And so if you have a little bit of time, then you can read through your whole timeline. You can just quickly hit that. And make sure you're up to date and whatever the most important things are, those kind of feeds that you always want to check. You can also apply search filters to those. I'm actually working on making it so you can apply regular expressions to them. So there's a lot of work that is heading in that direction. But it's a way to kind of really narrowly tailor and aggregate your news in a way that's rather than just having this huge, massive, overwhelming inbox of all the news everywhere that you kind of have to plow through. It gives you a nice, easy way to, in a proactive way, control it. Also, has things like filters, which I like in terms of it lets you take a particular keyword, and items that match that keyword are automatically marked as red in the system. So this is a great thing if you have certain. I find that there are certain feeds that I like, sort of say like half the content. Say that it's like they're talking about mobile development, but I'm only interested in the iOS stuff. I'm not interested in say the Windows Phone stuff. So I could add a Windows Phone filter, and it would I wouldn't see the articles up front that match that criteria. And those are kind of things. And then additionally, I wanted a service that really had sort of a next level of integration with a read later service. I personally use Instapaper. FeedWrangler integrates the same way with Instapaper and Pocket. And really what I want is a service that it can be a bit more intelligent about what it's doing. So often what I'll do, this is kind of a typical workflow for me, is I'll be kind of sitting on Twitter or whatever, and articles will come to my attention, interesting things people post. And typically what I'll do is just write in Twitter, write in Tweetbot, in the browser, whatever. I can right-click on it and say, send to Instapaper. It goes into my queue, which is great, except for almost always what happens then is that night, a whole bunch of I'll find that same article in my RSS feed, for certain writers, certain people. It's the things that I'm interested in are almost always also I subscribe to that author's feed. And so what I wanted to do is, for example, in that instance, if an article is already in your Instapaper queue or in your Pocket queue, and FeedWrangler can detect that, it'll go ahead and mark it as read optionally. It's up to you. You can this is a feature that you can enable, but you can just say, this is what I do. So what I've said is, I put it in my Instapaper queue. I've said I'm going to read it later. I don't need to see it again. I don't need to be constantly reminded of this article that I've already said I'm going to deal with later. So that's the kind of thing that I've been doing. And so that's what FeedWrangler is. And it launched on Tuesday and it's been pretty well received. I'm kind of blown away in some ways by the nice things some people have said about it. And, it's just sort of a start. one thing that I'm doing very differently with FeedWrangler than I have in the past, and what I've done with other services or other products that I've launched, is that FeedWrangler, rather than being a one-time charge or those types of things, you know, rather than like a weather app where you're just like, you just buy it and it just kind of works, FeedWrangler, I'm structuring it as a subscription. I'm structuring it as a yearly priced service that you buy for about $18.99 a year. I wish I could do $19, but Apple doesn't do pricing in whole dollars, so it's $18.99 a year. And what I'm trying to do there is create a sustainable platform to do this with. Tackling a problem like this is kind of tricky if you're doing it kind of like I am, sort of a one-man shop approach where you're going up against these large venture-backed companies, these larger organizations that have lots of resources and manpower. And so what I really want is to have a sustainable way to do this. You know, I don't want it to be something that I need to constantly be worried about kind of the income and revenue of the business. I'd like to, if I can kind of stabilize that a little bit, do it on a subscription basis so that I can kind of plan and know what, you know, sort of what level of effort and I can afford to put into it because of the sort of the revenue I'm going to get. And it's not like every day with a typical app store sale. And it's like every day you have to find a new set of customers in a way that with a subscription model, you don't quite. You know, you have a certain amount of cancellations, obviously, but you have a bit more dependability of that income. It's not like you need upgrade revenue in the same way. It's like every year essentially is upgrade revenue. And then my job, and this is the thing that I really love, it changes a little bit the dynamic of sort of my job as your developer, because in a typical app sales model, my job is to try and make that initial sale. And really that's it, in the sense that once you've made that first sale, I've gotten most of the money I'm ever going to get from you. And so financially, my interests are not necessarily aligned with making you happier and happier and happier and happier. Now, obviously, I want to make you happy. I want to, you know, increase goodwill and word of mouth and those types of things. But it's always been kind of complicated for me because how do you sort of balance those two things where you launch an app, it has a lot of, say, it has the classic thing in iOS, it's a big spike up at the beginning, a lot of income on the first couple of days, and then it starts to tail off. And you still have all these users, these people who gave you money with certain expectations. And it's like, how do you kind of square those two? And what I like about subscriptions, and this is, so far it seems to be going well, and I hope this kind of thing can continue, is what I'd love is to be able to get to a point where it's like, my job now is to make all of the people who have signed up so delighted with the service that in a year they're delighted to give me another round of subscription. And that's a very different sort of psychologically, it's a very different model that I have this very definite goal in mind that it's like, okay, I want to keep making the product better and better and better and better and making the service better and better and better and better so that people want to stay with it, so that people want to stay with the product and service and are excited about it and will, you know, share it out from there. There's kind of some interesting things that come along with this. I definitely have gotten a lot of feedback about why I don't have a trial or a demo. So right now the service, if you want to sign up, you have to sign up. I have a risk-free trial in the sense that if you sign up and you don't like it, I'll give you your money back. One thing I love actually about having a web-based system, I use Stripe for credit card payments, is if you don't like the service, I can very easily just go click a button and give you your money back. Because at the end of the day, what I don't want it to do, it's like what I want is a reasonably large base or whatever, a sustainable base of users who are delighted to have paid for the service. If that's not you, if you don't fall into that category, if you tried it, it's not your thing, that's great. I mean, I wish I could make you happy, and certainly I'm open to suggestions and things. I've had some people who say, like, I like the service. If it had this, this, and this, I'd stay with it. Fair enough. That's great to know, and I'll kind of keep that in mind. But it's great to be able to do that in a way that with the iOS App Store, which is a little bit trickier, where all refunds are processed by Apple and you have no control over that, it's really hard to kind of navigate that when someone says, oh, I don't like it, can you give me my money back? It's like, well, not really. You have to go to Apple. You have to kind of navigate it that way. And so that's kind of been a nice thing that I can kind of be able to focus on what is essentially going to be a smaller group of hopefully more loyal and sort of dedicated users. And I like that business model. I like where it's going. I'm glad that the launch went well enough to kind of validate it, that I can kind of run in this direction. And honestly, just taking a step back, one thing that I've said many times, I think, on the show, and that's very true of the way that I do my business, is a lot of what I do is a question of building being able to sort of build a sustainable business generally by averages. That, it's like FeedWrangler, I don't expect will ever be necessarily my my sole income, my sole focus. I have a lot of different things that I do. I have a lot of different applications, but it'll be one of the main focuses. And I sort of what I'm hoping to do, and it seems to be heading that direction, is sort of to build another leg to the stool that my business sits on, that hopefully can keep me doing this, keeping doing the thing that I like indefinitely. Let's see. One other thing that I wanted to talk about that was just always kind of the funny thing. So obviously I launched on Tuesday, and essentially almost immediately there had ran into all kinds of server trouble, server problems, all kinds of things were going on. It was actually kind of funny. A friend of mine, Rob Ryan, who actually comes in and visits the office I work in periodically, who actually launched Briefs, which is an awesome product if you're interested in. For kind of rapid prototyping, but he launched that on Wednesday, so definitely check that out. But it was kind of we were both in this mode of getting ready to launch, and then it's just like we were just here till the late hours getting everything ready. He was working on his issues, I was working on my issues, and that first launch day is always intimidating. No matter how well you plan for it, no matter how much you think you're set, there will always be something that comes up. There will always be something that catches you up and tricks you. There were some assumptions that I was making. About the kinds of feeds that people would have, or even just like my test set of feeds wasn't a good representation of kind of what some people have, and so there are all kinds of parsing errors and load problems, and it's like I love that it's a cloud service though, where I can kind of I went into and I think I mentioned this last time I structured a lot of it in terms of this very queue based. Process. And so it's nice that as my queues started to get out of control, and rather that it's like things were being put it in faster than they were being, processed, I could just spin up some more workers and a little more processes to go through and run the imports, run all the things. And so I definitely think that validates a lot of that concept that I was doing of saying, I want to build a web server that has this reliability that's built in from sort of a queue-based approach. And it also works out nicely. I've had nodes go down in my processing queue, but that's fine. I have to deal with those retrying those tasks, but other than that, other things just kind of pick up the slack and keep working. So I definitely recommend that approach, and it seems to have worked well. And I'm delighted to say that now I'm able to actually record this episode and to kind of take a step back. Things have settled down. Things are working as planned. Last night I got up in the middle of the night to do some server upgrades, do some changes there. I turned out one of my big database machines. It didn't quite have enough memory, so I upgraded that and a few other things. But so far, things are good, and things are settling down, and I like that I can now sit back and start focusing on features again. Like, now that I've got the infrastructure in place, now that I've got the system to a place that it's stable and solid, that's, that's really exciting to me, and kind of heading in that direction. And it's just kind of fun. I mean, I love building things that I use on a regular basis, and it's kind of part of one of the things that I'd struggled with initially with some of my earlier apps. Things that I thought were good ideas or interesting things in the marketplace. And what I found is it was very hard for me to stay motivated in creating those and sustaining them, especially in terms of doing updates and keeping them going, when I didn't really use them on a regular basis. And that's part of where I made Check the Weather, weather app that I use all the time, because I need to constantly know, what the weather is like, what it's going to be like that day. And now I have, an RSS reader, which is something that I use on a regular, I use constantly. It's probably the second or third most used app on my phone. It's probably Tweetbot first, probably it, and then Mail. So it's pretty, it's pretty high there in terms of something that I use. And so now it's great because I have all these ideas and motivations to make it better. And I love aligning those two interests so that I'm excited and motivated to make the product better, and I'm excited and motivated to kind of share that with other people and hopefully, benefit let them benefit from that experience as well. All right, so that's it about Feed Wrangler for today. If you have questions about the process, the launch process, specific things in the thing, definitely send me an email, david@developingperspective.com, and I'd be happy to kind of address them on the show. I'll probably be talking about it a little bit of sort of post-mortem over the next week or two. And otherwise, kind of random notes. Let's see, I did get a ticket to WWDC. I don't think – I think they went on sale after I recorded the last show, so that was kind of exciting. I just happened to get it. I was, sitting there, retry, and, happened to be one of the lucky few who got a ticket that way. So I'll definitely be out there in San Francisco for WWDC. If you're around, of course, let me know. We'll try and meet up. Exactly how that works is always a bit complicated, but definitely look for me in San Francisco then. And otherwise, it's been a busy week, a lot going on, and I hope you like Feed Wrangler. I hope you, if you're a listener to the show, if you're a frequent, if you feel like you get something out of it, I would definitely appreciate your support if you at least check it out. Take a look, see if it's something that you want to do. I get a lot of people who ask, you know, what can I do to support developing perspective? The best thing is to, support the products that I make to allow me to keep doing this. All right, that's it for today's show. As always, questions, comments, concerns, complaints, I'm on Twitter @_DavidSmith, DavidSmith@appnet, and have a great week. Bye.